And later on, this Jewish lady becomes the queen of Persia. It's almost impossible. Because at that time, the Jewish, actually, they were in captive in Persia. They don't have country anymore. You know, somebody have no country, no position in society, not much education, is poor, not much money, but yet she became the queen of this big country. Now, Persia at that time have about 127 provinces. It's a huge country. So you can only imagine how comfortable is, you know, Esther when she's living in a palace. She can have everything she ever wants. And at that time, a crisis came. Somebody in the government by the name of Haman, and then he wanted to destroy, you know, Mordecai, and also destroy the entire population of Jewish people in Persia. So Mordecai sent a message to go and see Esther, say, hey, don't you know about this? You know, somebody tried to kill us. Somebody tried to kill all the Jewish. So he sent a messenger to go to see, you know, Esther. Not only to tell her about the crisis, also asked her to go in and talk to the king. Now, the immediate response from Esther is say, oh, no, 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 I cannot do that. Does it sound familiar? A lot of times people ask you to do something, ask you to go to a short-term mission, ask you to serve the church. Your first reaction always what? No, I cannot do it. It's exactly what, you know, Esther was saying. It's a no, 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 no way, I cannot do it. You don't know the rule here. If you're not being asked, you cannot just walk into the palace. You'll be executed. I would die. I would lose my life. And then, you know, Mordecai sent another message to Esther. It said, don't think that you are better, you know, in the house, in the king's house. Don't think you're better than all the other Jews outside. But if this happens, you will also perish. If you don't do it, God would raise another person to, you know, save the Jewish people, but you and your father's family will be perished. Now, to me, this is like a warning, you know. You don't have a choice. That's not an option that you go see the king or not. You have to go to see the king. And that reminds me another, you know, a warning in the New Testament. We're all very familiar. Can you see the warning? Can you read it together with me? I'll read it. When I preach. Now, Paul, you know, simply just warned the Christian today that it's not our choice. Again, this is not an option. We are, you know, I am compelled to preach. We have to share the gospel. The responsibility to the commission already given to all the Christians. Now, when we talk about mission in a Chinese church, we always think about a person, Hudson Taylor. And that was his famous quote. He said, if I have 1,000 lives, I will give them all to China. If I have 1,000 pounds, I will not save a single pound for myself. His heart is for China. Do you know how old was Hudson Taylor when he first came to China? Anybody know? He was really young, younger than many of you here. He was not even 22 years old. He's 21 years and 10 months old, yet he came to China. He not only came to China by himself, he brought his family. But first he brought his wife, and then he went back to England, and later on he brought his children, and slowly the whole family living in China. Now his wife died, his first wife died in China. Also his daughter also, you know, died in China. Now, when his daughter died, you know, she was only 8 years old. And that's a letter he was writing, you know, to, you know, his friend. He said, not that I don't know China is not suitable for our family. I knew of the dangers. I knew of the price that we had to pay. But I had no choice because I already give my family to God. I already dedicate my whole family to God. I'm not foolish. You know, he knew that's danger when he came to China, but yet he still came. A lot of times when we serve the Lord, we have to think about a price to pay. So many of us, you know, we don't think about paying a price. When we have spare time, we'll serve the Lord. When we have spare money, we'll give to the church. That is not what God asked. What God asked is the firstborn and also put God in priority. This is so very important, you know, to set it aside. So when Hudson Taylor obeyed God, when Hudson Taylor gave his best to the Lord, including his family, God blessed him. You know, he found a group called the China Inland Mission. It was a big group to start the evangelism in China. When he died, and they already have 205, you know, mission stations in China, and also he already brought in 849 missionaries into China. Now, it sounds so impossible to me, because I study a lot of, you know, mission, you know, work in different countries of the world. This number, in only a short, you know, 30 years of time, is amazing. But Hudson Taylor put his life down and obeyed God, and God used him. We need a lot more Hudson Taylor. But what Hudson Taylor told us is the same thing we've been repeating in this, you know, mission conference. He said the Great Commission is not an option to be considered, but it's rather a command to be obeyed. It's just so important. Many times we do not understand why so many churches, they don't do a thing about mission. Because before Jesus left his disciple, the last words he had with his disciple was the Great Commission. You know anybody before they leave this earth, before they die, they always want to say something very important from the bottom of their heart. And Jesus said, you have to go. You have to go. Make disciples of all nations. Last time we already mentioned about is that this Great Commission or the mission or evangelism is the basic of, you know, of a church. If a church without mission, without evangelism, it does not have any value to exist. The same about a personal life. If a person, a Christian, do not have a mission in our mind, we are just wasting our life. You know, our pastor Stan said, which I will always repeat, we always have to prepare to meet God someday. I always have a prayer, if you hear me praying, I always say, Lord, I hope someday, when I see you, I can be called a good and faithful servant. It's so important, but so much often, so much time, that the Christian today, we put the important thing into something different. You know, we're not putting the important thing, what God wants us to put. And so we have to change our focus. So Esther had a problem. Esther didn't want to see the king, because he knew that was dangerous. But after prayer, and after a lot of talking, maybe a lot of thought, and finally Esther obeyed. And that this is the word that Esther said. Let's all read together again. Okay? Go together. Now, one of the reasons I asked you to read, because I cannot see that. The word is too small for me. And I thought I can see that. For some reason, I could not see it. And that's why I encourage people to start serving the Lord when they're young. I came to, I started serving mission when I was, you know, 42 years old. But after 20 years, I feel like I don't have the strength like I used to have. Everything in my body seems like an old car, you know. And when I saw my doctor a couple of days ago, she asked me, anything wrong? I said, everything. It's a really, it's a everything, you know. That's like an old car. You break up a problem, transmission a problem, steering a problem, you know, air conditioning a problem, the bearing a problem, the tire a problem, just name it. The list never ends. So you need to serve the Lord when you're young. Now, Esther, when she decide to obey, you know what she said? She said, if I perish, I perish. Now, once a person makes that commitment, a miracle will happen. Did Esther die? No. Not only she did not die, but also God used her to save the entire Jewish population in Persia. It's very important when we come to the Lord. A lot of times people ask about God's guidance. Tell me, Lord, what should I do? I will do it if you tell me. Open the sky. Talk to me in dream. Maybe write on the wall. I want to see that. You tell me what you want me to do, and I will do it. A lot of times God kept silent. You know why God kept silent? Not that God doesn't want to talk to us. He's like our Heavenly Father. He loves to talk to you. If you ask your father or mother about what you need to do, you think your father and mother will keep silent? Of course not. We wait for the chance to tell our children what they should do, right? We might not be right, but we love that opportunity. Now, God is always right, and He's always waiting for that opportunity. You know why sometimes God kept silent? Because we are not ready to obey. If God knew that you're not going to be submissive, why waste time to tell you what is on His mind? You always pray for direction. You always pray for your marriage. It's that God, I only want to marry that person. Please, please give me the best person, but that is the person. Please give me the best husband. That is the one I want. God would not do it. You have to tell God that I'm here. Just do whatever you want to do. Use me. And God will open His door. Sometimes, you know, you cannot see the future, but yet, if you set your feet up, and then you slowly see God's guidance. I also remember years ago, when we first moved to China, and that was about 1998, almost 12 years ago. And people asked me, why you moved to China? You have three kids, they're so young. What are you going to do? You have a business here, why you give up your business? You have, you know, you're serving the church here, why you give up all this? I said, because the Lord called me to go. And then they asked me a question, what are you going to do in China? I had no idea what I was going to do in China. All I knew is God wanted me to go, and I'm ready to do whatever God wants me to do. So we moved to China. We start praying and praying. 2 months after we arrived in China, and God told us what to do. As brother and sister, sometimes we have to go by faith. If the Lord wants you to do something, you can think of 100 reasons, 100 problems that you cannot go. Only one reason to go, but yet 100 reasons not to go. But yet, if you start putting down all these problems, and you just, you know, look into the Lord and depend on Him and be submissive to Him, and then He will guide your way. I still remember, you know, years ago, I was, you know, sharing, you know, in a church in Houston. And we're talking about similar stuff. We're talking about serving. We're talking about opportunity. We're talking about, you know, we don't know, you know, how long that we're going to live. You know, our life, you know, is not depending on us and things like that, you know. And when I was talking, I realized there's a lady in the back. And she started crying. You know, of course, I didn't know why she cried because there was a big crowd that night. And after the meeting, people started leaving. And she came to me. She said, Mr. Trin, do you know why I cry in the back? And I said, no, but I want you to tell me. And she said, my husband be talking about serving the Lord. And he talked all his life, yet he never, you know, took a step out to full-time service. I said, I look at her, she's very young. She's probably in the 40s. I said, well, you still have time. Why don't you encourage him to go and serve? Maybe you serve with him. And she's just shaking her head. And tears start coming down again. She says, it's too late. I said, why? He already died unexpectedly 5 months ago. Tell me, Mr. Trin, what should I do? I didn't know what to tell her. If you were me, what would you tell her? Her husband already gone. Many of us, we want to serve. We know we love the Lord. We trust the Bible. We know that God wants to use our life. But yet, when we look around, it's just so many things seems like choking us. We cannot go to serve the Lord. When we think about Esther, I mean, she was from nothing, and then she became the queen of Persia. Does that remind of our story? Does it remind of our own American dream? I don't know about you. When I first came to this country, I had only 2 suitcases. That's all I had. My father gave me a one-way ticket, you know, to come to America, give me the first year of tuition to pay, and that's on my own. And today, you know, especially before, you know, I, you know, start mission work, I have everything the American dream has. We have a big house, swimming pool, drive the best car, you know, go to Hawaii for vacation, go to Europe for vacation. We have so much To me, we do not deserve that. But God gave it to us, just like Queen Esther. For a reason. For a reason. Did you think about that? What is the reason God put you in the position as you are in today? Now, this is very important. Because today, we're still talking here. We're still serving here. I'm still, you know, working with you. But tomorrow, we don't really know where we end. So we don't know how long is our life. But when we have a chance, I want you to serve. And also, doing the mission is almost like fighting a war. God put me in business for 10 years. The business model normally, okay, we try to use the shortest time to make the most money out of it. The church is the same. So I guess God put me in business to learn the business model, to try to apply that model, apply the urge, the sense of urgency in mission. We have to do the same thing in the shortest time and try to save most life. So many people, they have not heard about Jesus. I was told it's at least 100, you know, some group of people in Indonesia, they never know who Jesus is. If we don't do something, the Muslims will go in and tell them about Islam, and they will naturally become Muslim right away. I remember when I was living in China. There's one story I'm going to end the message today. We live on the sixth floor in an apartment. Oh, no elevator. So every day I have to walk up sixth floor and come down. Walking up is easy, but after you're shopping for grocery or luggage, and walking the sixth floor is not easy. But we stayed there for 2 years. One night, about 3 a.m. in the morning, there's a big noise outside, waking us up. So when I got up, my wife also got up. We look outside. Actually, behind our building, there's a huge, you know, land that people grow corn and grow wheat. You know, it's a farming. And that night, I saw two people holding a flashlight, walking around. I said, what on earth? Those people are walking in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., and making all this noise too. And later on, I realized those are not people walking with a flashlight. It seems like a car driving in the farm area. I said, what are they doing? And when I start waking up, I realized there's a tractor. They're harvesting in the middle of the night. So next morning, I talked to the neighbor. I said, do you know some people last night tried to harvest, you know, their wheat, you know, behind our building? They said, yeah, they are working. I said, 3 a.m. in the morning? He said, yeah, Mr. Chen, you don't know about this. If you don't do it now, later, when it comes a storm, and it'll push all this wheat down on the ground, and unless you bring them back up, which is impossible because it's so big, so much, and they would be just gone. We'll be wasting our time. We'll be wasting all this farming effort that we've been doing. Because they know the harvest is ready, they would sacrifice their sleeping time. Who want to work at 3 a.m. in the morning? Nobody would. But yet they do it. You know why? Because they know if they don't do it, they will waste the harvest. Why can't we bring their mentality to the church? We need to really work for that. Now, mission is not an option. And also, urgency and sense of mission have to bring into the church. So, as we are in the U.S., enjoying this comfortable life, but I want you to start thinking, who knows, that we have come to a royal position is not for such a time as this. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that we have a time to share in this mission conference. You have called this church to serve you over the years. You have blessed all the people that have served in different countries. We ask you to continue to this church, to use this church to fulfill your great commission. More important, we ask you to use each one of us. Raise all the Christians in this church that everybody would step into the mission field and live our life for the Master. We hope and we pray someday when we come to see you, we can be called a good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.